All right, gentlemen, it is 7 o'clock. Thank you all for joining. I'm expecting a few more people to hop on, but as always, we want to start right on time. We want to honor your time. Change the format a little bit. So we've been doing it weekly and we've been doing it at noon. We've transitioned, especially with people going back to work, we've transitioned over to a monthly call on every first Monday evenings at 7. And starting us off with our evening calls is Bishop R. Christopher Brown III from Sword of Truth in Bennettsville, South Carolina. And Bishop Brown, the floor is yours, sir.
Brother RJ, first and foremost, let me say that I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to share your platform. As I said to you before the others got on, with who you are and me knowing you now, I don't know how many years. I don't know, 5, 6, whatever it is. I've been able to kind of watch a little of what's been happening in your life and what you've been doing. And it is a blessing to see you forge forward, as well as creating opportunities for brothers to touch base, you know, across this country. And I'm believing that this idea, this God idea, this vision will expand further than what you have even begun to comprehend or think. And so I'm honored to be a part of it. Anytime I get a chance to talk to men, it's a great, great opportunity, but I'm honored to be a part of it. And thank you for having me. We love you, sir. And we'll say a little bit more about you a little later. We'll put you in the pocket. God bless you, brothers. It is so good to see many of you. Many of you, I don't know. There is a face down at the bottom that I do know that looks like Jeff. That's Jeff. Okay, well, he smiled. That's Jeff. And so I know that brother. He's part of Sword Truth. Now he's currently at another ministry, but still always part of our ministry. And I am grateful to have this opportunity. I know that it's prayer, and I do plan to pray at the back end. But there's also something that I wanted to kind of share with the group, because in light of what we're kind of dealing with and going through in this current moment, I think that, this call probably isn't long enough to talk about each and every emotion that may be going on through many of you all's minds. I do know that as I began to watch that video, I thought maybe it was Photoshopped. Then I said, well, maybe this is something that happened some years ago. And when I realized that it was so recent, within now about a little more than a week, if a week yet, that my heart broke, and something in me something clicked. Something just didn't work well. And I started trying to cipher through those emotions. One of the things that I know that's very, very difficult for many men, I'm one, so I understand, and that is to be able to immediately cipher through emotions. Usually, it takes us the moment to kind of sit, muse, and think it through and kind of wash it back and forth through our mind before we can kind of come up with different reasonings, which is one of the reasons why, on a more lighter note, women tend to run circles around us in the middle of a heated conversation, because their mind is moving like that, but our mind is kind of going slowly around the bend before we ever have a chance to get anything out. So for every 1,000 words they've already said, we probably get about 100 to 200 words in, because that's how long it took us to think. But this literally forced me to have to process my emotions quickly, because if I didn't, I would have been moving out of emotion. Even posting, as it were, out of emotions without really having an opportunity to process what took place. It was literally an egregious murder. We, in the 21st century, had the unfortunate opportunity of witnessing what a lot of our other dear brothers and sisters have witnessed in the 19th century, 18th century, when there was the right for public lynching. And the blacks had to stand and watch little black boys and black men, and in some cases women, hung by a tree. The noose was wrapped around their neck and strung, and they were strung up against a tree. Strange fruit is one songwriter's way of putting it. Strange fruit hanging from a tree. And here we are in the 21st century, couple of years, 100 years or so removed from that, being witnesses to another lynching. And instead of the noose being a rope, the new noose now seems to be a knee. And with one of our African-American brothers who took a knee, they used that knee to hang his career. And now this dear precious brother, George Floyd, the literal knee got around his neck and choked the life out. And he said, I can't breathe. And it's almost as if we still cannot breathe. And I didn't know how to feel. I didn't know how to feel. I'm a pastor. And so one of the first things is, you know, you're the pastor, you should speak about peace and love and all of those things. But peace, love, and joy wasn't what I was feeling, nor has it been what I've been saying. It was, we have to do something. There's something that must be done. Because it seems like the new sport in hunting is called the black man. And they're coming up with different ways of executing us on the street. And so my emotions are all over the place. I mean, I was just, you know, kind of all over the place. And then when I remembered that Brother RJ had this 100 men call, I was like, oh God, what? This call just probably not coming at the best time because I'm so emotionally all over the place. And then I thought, no. I think it's coming at the right time because if nothing else, all of us have to pull together and begin to pray for one another as it relates to our emotions being where they are and raw. First, I want to say the emotions that you feel are not wrong. You know, there are some people who say we shouldn't feel whatever, shouldn't feel the anger and want to hurt something, want to burn something down. Dr. Martin Luther King is noted as saying, God bless him, he said that the language of a rioter, the language of the unheard is rioting. That when riots happen, it's because we're not being heard. And so as a result of that, consequently, riots break out and riots happen. So when we are unable to be heard, when we're unable to feel like we're able to be heard, other things happen. What helps us with that? Prayer does. Now, not just prayer aimlessly to just say we accomplished the step one, but prayer in the regard of, Lord, help us to facilitate through these emotions to use it to be constructive. I was preaching on yesterday and my lesson was hijacked by the Holy Spirit. I was supposed to be preaching something else. It went totally left, which is fine with me. And I started ministering along the lines of there is a wind, W-H-E-N. It was Pentecost Sunday last Sunday, and we used that scripture as the backdrop. And when the day of Pentecost fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Brother RJ, something stood out to me. Minister Jeff, something stood out to me. And it was that we've quoted that thing wrong so many times. That usually when we quote that scripture, we say they were all in one place with one accord. Usually the people that I've ever heard quoted usually put it in that order. They were all in one place with one accord. But that's not the way scripture is written. The scripture is not written in one place with one accord. The scripture is written with one accord in one place. It may seem like semantics, but it's an important semantic. And that is this. Usually we look for a placement before a chord. We look for to be stabilized or put in a certain position, and we've yet to accomplish the accord piece. And so then the Lord starts talking to me about the fact that, remember, whenever he left, whenever Jesus was murdered, whenever Jesus was put on Facebook Live and had to drag a cross up Golgotha's hill, whenever Twitter began to note the fact that he was nailed to the cross with a crown of thorns on his hand, and when Instagram was able to show the fact that he was hung high and stretched wide, the whole world began to see him take his last breath and say, it is finished. Now, that rippled through that city. It rippled through the world that the Savior is gone. One to whom they identify with is no longer there. Well, that's exactly how we feel. One to whom we identify with is no longer with us. And we watched him be murdered. We watched him say, it's finished. Literally, we watched his brother's life slip away in saying it's finished, calling for his mother, calling for his children, yelling about he's hurting all over, hurting in his stomach, that I can't breathe. And it sent a ripple effect through the whole world. I mean, look at the world now. It's almost turning upside down. And fire is burning everywhere because the fire on the outside is only representing the fire that has been burning on the inside that has now been unhinged because we now witnessed this person die right before us. The only thing that helped the disciples is before Jesus left, he said to them to go up to Galilee and meet me in the upper room. In other words, he said, go quarantine, go shelter in place. He said, go to the upper room and shelter in place until I give you power. Well, when they went to be quarantined, when they went to be sheltered in place, they didn't just sit in that room, these disciples, and sing Kumbaya. They weren't just sitting up in there twiddling their thumbs. No, no, no. While they were sitting there, they were working on disaggregating their emotions. They were working on strategic plans moving forward. They were making sure that they were good within their heart. Because one of the things that I know happens with storm more often than not is this, that storms tend to show us our cracks. That if you ever want to know where you may be leaking at, let a good storm come through. Well, we just had a monsoon. I don't know where all of you are watching from or listening from. I'm Florence, South Carolina. I know that North Carolina caught a lot of this too. We just finished having almost 7 to 10 days, nothing but rain. And when the rain, well, even before the rain stopped, we started seeing water seeping through places. Well, with the natural eye, you couldn't tell that there was an opening there. It took a storm to tell us that there were still open places that we have to seal so that we're not affected by what happens on the outside. You follow? And so then with this brother being murdered the way he was murdered, the storm came. And here's what the storm showed us. The storm showed us that there are some cracks left in our psyche, cracks left in our emotion, cracks left in our heart, cracks left in our mind that we have yet to deal with. And so if we were to be put in a place, that place would only further perpetuate the cracks that we did not deal with while sheltered in place. One of the things that I really believe that God has done in this moment for us in 2020, other people want to just start 2020 back over or just go to sleep and wait 2021. I don't, because I still believe that there's something big that's going to happen in 2020. I think that God wanted to settle us down. The scripture says that God orders our steps, and that is true. If he orders our steps, he also orders our stops. So there are times when he'll say, stop, slow down, think, reset, reconsider, reconcile, develop, redevelop. He'll hold us in a place so that when we are finished with whatever he wants to teach us in that moment, we'll be able to move forward. They were all with one accord, with one accord. Another way that we've messed that scripture up is we'll say that they were all on one accord. That no, that's not what the Bible said. The Bible didn't say they were on one accord. It said they were with one accord. Now here's the problem with that. If I'm on the cord, I go no further. So that means I'll achieve one thing and stop. If I'm on the cord, if I step on this cord, the movement stops because I'm on it. And usually with the world, especially with us men, brothers, we'll achieve something and step on that one achievement and stop moving any further. And we'll always live in our last accomplishment. You remember when I ran that touchdown in high school? Yeah, that was like 20 years ago. So when's the last time you scored a touchdown? Now, you may not have scored a touchdown proverbially with football, but when's the last time you won something, right? But you don't move forward with winning anything else because we're stuck in last victories. And many times the greatest enemy of your next is your last win. See, your last W-I-N. The last time you won something becomes the enemy of your next win because you're stuck in a historical point on the cord. So I never worked to develop anything else because this is what I did. And for us, brothers, it can never just be what we did. It has to begin to be what we are doing, what's coming next, and are we developing ourselves and getting ready for next? There's young people on this call. Thank God for that. I'm so glad they're on, because what are we showing them? Accomplish one thing and stop and never move any further. Always talk about what you did in the past and never have anything to talk about for future or your preparation for the future. What are you reading? As a matter of fact, I pulled my son aside today. I don't know why I did it. Maybe it's because I had my mind on this call. And I asked him, so today, what did you do to develop yourself? Now, he's only 10, and I'm talking about development, but you got to start him at some point. And his answer to me was, I play my video game all day. I thought, oh, no. See, that video game is dulling your mentality. Now, I know you're not going to like me for this, but I'm going to have to put you on a schedule of development so at least you're learning something else before you get to Fortnite. Fortnite can wait. What's that other thing they play? The little firing game, I forget. Whatever it is. That can wait as well. You can play all of those things. Y'all can talk online and all that after you get with, not on, the cord. Yes, you finish school with all A's. Great. But you're on that, and that's nothing else. You got another year of school coming. How are you prepping for that? So I hope you kind of understand what I'm saying. So if I'm on it, I don't move. But if I'm with it, wherever the cord moves, I'm able to flow with it. Wherever life kind of takes me and moves me, I'm able to kind of move alongside it and along with it so that I can be better for myself and better for my world, better for my family, better for myself, better for my family, better for my world. Let me say that again. Better for myself, better for my family, better for my world. God never gives great gifts to unprepared people. I hope y'all listening to me out there. God never gives great gifts to unprepared people. Now, you may get gifts that are good, but they're not great. You follow? Because he can only give great gifts to prepared people. God has great things for the black man, but how prepared are we for those great things? Are we still on a cord or are we with the cord? How many other cracks are in our heart and in our mind that we've yet to deal with? Are we willing to help another brother out? Or do we still stand in places of crab mentality, right? Do we still have, unfortunately, this mentality that can be socially and subconsciously passed down from generation to generation called house Negro, field Negro? You do know that if there's any type of oppression that's over 50 years or so, that it becomes a psychosocial culture that's passed down from generation to generation, and subconsciously, we can still have some of those thoughts running in, because within that degree, think about it, in its simplest form, all it says is, I'm better than you because of my skin color. I'm better than you because of the advantages that I have. I'm better than you. And that mentality still runs rampant in the black community. One of the things I said while I was preaching is not excusing those people who put the new noose around that black man's neck called the knee, not excusing him at all. As a matter of fact, it should not have been third degree murder. It should have been first degree murder, but I digress. So in spite of them, nothing excuses that. That is it. But here's the case. If we think about the I can't breathe more in a proverbial sense, not a literal sense, a proverbial sense, then here's my thought. Proverbially, if they let us breathe, what are we going to do with that breath? You see, if we begin to breathe now, what are we going to do with the breath given? Or will we go back to doing some of the same dysfunctional things that we did before, the same immature things that we've done before, because we've refused to fix the cracks that the storm is trying to tell us? Usually when a storm comes to a man who doesn't want to be mature, they run away, they fight, they pick up their toys, they go play in the other room, they go have other affairs. They'll do whatever they need to do because I'm not ready to mature in this area. But what if the maturity of that area is the final test to your next place and your next level of development, and you're holding up a generation of men behind you simply because you still have a 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 5-year-old crack that you've not settled, that you've not dealt with, that you've not looked into, that you've not asked anybody to help you with. Question, if you have a trusted brother or friend, have you asked them lately, what's the greatest thing about you? And heard it, wrote it down, and then ask them, what's something that you really need to work on? One of the reasons why we can't ask them what we want to work on, because of our ego. And when we let ego become the main focus of how we live our life, we will continue to walk in places of fractures, cracks, and never be able to hold up ourselves, hold up our family, or hold up our generation, hold up our community. We'll never be able to do any of that because we're damaged still without growing. What is the most challenging thing about you? Have you asked anyone? Is it still that you get angry quick? And by the way, let me quickly suggest and say, offer as a suggestion in this powerful forum that I'm looking at. You brothers are very powerful. And that is this, that anger is not bad. Anger in and of itself is not bad. So we're supposed to be angry. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, be angry. You know, I'm sure you read it. At least I did. That's what the Bible says, be angry, right? So, you know, people, you shouldn't be angry about that. No, I should be. Because I can be angry, but sin not. So how does sin happen? Sin comes in when we've yet to deal with the cracks that we found because of the storm. And then we act out in different kinds of ways. They were all with one accord in one place. All right. So money-wise, how are we understanding money and our financial fortitude? Do we understand money? Or are we running for money? Are we still working for it? Or we're learning how to let it work for us? Right? Are we leaving legacies for our children? Or will they need a GoFundMe page when you go see the Lord? Preferably it'll be when you're 150, but even still, will we have to do GoFundMe then? What am I thinking as it relates to money? Am I buying everything I want right now, or am I saving for the future me? Here's another side street, but it still talks directly to you. Your future me is going to either kiss you or slap you by the time you get 10 years down the road, right? Based upon what you decide to do right now with your cracks and with your money, right? Those cracks you got in your heart or your psyche or your emotion or what you do with your money at this point. Are you investing? So 10 years down the road, you can relax. Or are you spending? And 10 years down the road, you got to work at Walmart and say, welcome. You see what I'm saying? So what's going on with us while we're in waiting, while we're sitting in the upper room? Right? They went to the upper room to wait, but wait doesn't mean sit down. Wait means work. Wait means develop. Wait means continue to grow. Wait means to sharpen one another. Iron sharpens iron, and I can't get sharp if I'm in a room by myself. And most men, if I'm in a room by myself or if I'm in a room with a lesser material, come in the room. So if steel rubs up against anything less than it is, it destroys it and dulls it. So then I become dull and I destroy what I rubbed against. But if iron rubs against iron, both of them become sharp. So then that means I need to make sure that I surround myself, like you're doing with this 100-man prayer call every month, with brothers of like and precious faith who are sharpening one another while we're sitting in waiting. See, one thing that I can say that I'm super proud of tonight is that you brothers are doing something good with the wait period, with the upper room period, while we are waiting to exhale. We still can't breathe, and we're waiting to exhale. But while we're having our breath held, we're growing something, and we're developing something. I say march, yes, but after we march, what? Riot, do what you want, but after you riot, what? Have protests, good, but after you protest, what? Okay, start a family, great. After you start a family, what? Have kids, wonderful. After you have kids, what? Start a business, fantastic. After you start the business, what? What is the plan? Where are we going? And those are the things that God says, hold up. Wait a minute, let me put some teaching in it and give you some opportunities and ideas to not just be in a moment, but think generationally. God's greatest blessings comes to people who are able to think generationally and not just in the moment. You see, it's the development of the total man. It's the development of who we are. And it's in that space, it's in that place that I believe God has us in right now. And we got a big enough storm with what happened with our dear brother, George, in Minnesota, to begin to see, okay, wait, we still got this issue in our heart. Wait, I still got this issue in my mentality. Let me get near someone or around someone to get that stitched up. So when the time comes, I'm better. And they were all with one accord in one place. Yeah. So here's where we celebrate, I guess. And then we can get into the prayer. We've been waiting for the place, but brothers, the place is already created. It's not that we're waiting for a place. The place is waiting for us. The place was already ready once they got with one accord. And so then it is my ability to get with one accord that gets me the opportunity to get in the place. See, sometimes it's not the man that's against us. It's us against us. Sometimes we're looking at the enemy and the enemy is in me, right? I'm the one who's stopping my ability to progress any even further because I'm hoping for a place that I'm unable to fit in at that moment. I want to be a husband, but I'm not really able to fit into a husband's place yet. I want to be a millionaire, but I'm not able to fit into a millionaire's place yet. I want to be great, but I'm not able to fit into a great place yet. So then I have to get with one accord in order to fit in the place. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. And we are strong black men. We're powerful black men. We're intelligent black men. We're creative. We're all of those things. But all of those things mean nothing if our character can't keep us there. So then we want a stage, but when the lights come on, we're too crooked to handle the heat. All right. So if the place is already ready, come now. If the place is already ready, then that means it's already cut to a certain continuity. So then Jesus uses the with one accord moment. He uses the upper room moment. He uses the can't breathe moments to begin to shape us so that when we get to the place, watch, you don't have to force yourself in it. You fit perfectly. See, a square will not be able to fit into a circular hole no matter how hard it tries. Now, you might be able to beat and beat and beat and bang yourself to get in there finally, but the fit will still be awkward and the damage that's caused to the place and you would not even be worth you being there. So I would, yes, sir. Lord, I'm about to feel this better than I wanted to feel it. So hear what I'm saying to you, brothers. There is a place for us, right? But the only way we can get in that place is if we get with one accord. And to get with one accord changes our dysfunctions that could have happened through life to give us the straight enough arrow we need to go right into the hole that God has prepared for us. There is a place that God wants for each and every one of you that are watching this live and watching it by replay, or on video or by phone. There is a place. It's not the place that we should be praying for. That's already prepared. It's the accord that we should be praying for. Is my mind, my heart, and my mouth aligned? Am I saying what I'm thinking? Am I thinking what I'm feeling? Am I feeling what I'm thinking? Am I saying what I'm thinking? Is all of that straight up? Or am I saying one thing, thinking another? If I'm feeling one thing and saying another, am I all kind of mixed up in there? Or is there a perfect alignment to fit into the place that God has for me? Now watch what happens. They were all with one accord in one place and suddenly. Listen, so if he had to prepare the place, then that meant that there shouldn't have been a suddenly, that I would get into the place, wait a while, and then something else was going to happen. No. See, as soon as I get in the place, suddenly happens in my life. And what I've been wanting God to do for me as a man starts happening like an avalanche. All it takes is me getting in place with one accord and suddenly happens in my life. So suddenly life takes a turn. Suddenly I walk into the business better. Suddenly I become a better husband. Suddenly I become a better brother. Suddenly I become a better businessman. Suddenly I become a great man of God. Suddenly the ministry starts flowing. Everything happens in a suddenly moment when I'm aligned in the suddenly. And all it takes is the accord. That's the hardest piece. That's the hardest part. To break away from things that grew wrong. I'm getting ready to pray. But do you not know, and do you not remember, most of you, I'm sure, are sports people. But if you ever break a bone and they don't set that bone back right and it heals, but it heals wrong, what they say is, we have to break this again in order to align it. Many of us were broken as we grew up, and we healed, but we didn't heal right. And God is attempting to break us again so that we can heal properly to fit the place. Now, I know that might sound horrible. That might not sound so uplifting, but it is uplifting. Because here's what the Bible says. Brokenness, God cannot refuse. That the minute we allow ourselves to be broken before God, he said, I can't refuse you. You're the ones that I bring in and bring in close. You're the ones that I hold on to and never let go. Brokenness is what he needs. And my dear brothers, I'd rather be broken than bitter. Bitter, God spits out. Broken, God receives. And I want to be in his hand broken than out of his hand bitter. And in his hand, he begins to put us back together again. He's the only one I know that can take hardened clay and soften it again to remake it into a vessel of honor. And that's what God wants to do with the men of God, with you men that's on this call, live or replay. He wants to soften the clay, rebuild the vessel so that you can be meat for the master's use. And that's how I'm going to pray. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these brothers. I thank you for these men of God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, for this moment to pray for them and to pray over them. Lord, in everything that we said tonight, in every avenue, in everything that we touched, Lord, we want you to begin to do that in us right now. Show us where we might have missed cracks and broken places in us. Show us, Lord, where we may have used artificial fillers and not you as the filler for that crack in our life. Lord, many of us have used sports. We've used fishing. We've used going out as an artificial filler of a hole that was left in us by different things that traumatized us as we grew up. Lord, we don't want any artificial filler. Fill us up. You fill us up. You fill us up. Father, we remove every artificial filler. Everything in us, Lord God, that we put there to pacify a hurt, rightfully so. We were hurt. We did not know what else to do. So we pulled on whatever we could find in order to help us make it through that moment. But Lord, you have us in a place right now where we're willing to let go of what we once used as a pacifier and allow you to fill us till we want no more. Holy fire, burn away our desire for anything that's not of you. Hallelujah, that is of us. We want more of you and less of us. Burn away, Lord God. Purge us. Purge us, Lord God, with hyssop, that we might be whole, that we might be clean. Help us, Lord God, become better in our vision. Help us, Lord God, become better in our perspective. Help us, Lord God, to become better in our hopes and our dreams. Help us, Lord God, to become better men. Help us, Lord God, to become better role models. Help us, Lord God, to become better fathers and husbands and uncles and brothers and cousins. Help us, Lord God, to become better businessmen. Help us, Lord God, to become that voice that cries in the wilderness. Help us, Lord God, to be that light that shines in darkness. Help us, Lord God, to be the difference, to be the counterculture of what is currently there. Stabilize our feet. Strengthen our resolve. Yes, Lord God. And Father, where we're sick in our body, heal there. Heal there physically. Where we're sick, Lord, where there are arteries that may be clogging that we know not of, that's attempting to bring about an early death through a silent killer. Father, clear every clog out right now in the name of Jesus Christ, that our heart beats well, that our blood flows well. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name. Hallelujah to God. Thank you for that, Lord God. Bless every family that's represented here. Father, those who are married, bless their spouse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Increase them, even give them, Lord God, a different perspective of the man that they are right now. Thank you, Lord. Father, bring peace to any issue that, I don't know who this is. I hear you, Lord. Bring peace to any issue that's now being weighed upon the heart of this man that's watching, Lord God, that's listening, that's watching the replay. Let there be peace in the home, Lord God. Let there be understanding in the home, Lord God. Let there be clarity in the home that the devil cannot wreck it. I cause peace to that house right now. I call solidarity to that house right now. I rebuke every demon and devil that is attempting to rip away the mainstay of that family. The devil wants to do everything he can to destroy the male figure in the family, but the devil is a liar. I speak the blood and I plead the blood of Jesus. Lord, I thank you. I plead the blood of Jesus over everyone that's listening right now, right now, right now, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, right now. Do it for your glory, not for me, Lord, not for anyone else, not even for Brother RJ, but Father, do it for your glory. Let us be instruments that your glory is able to facilitate through each and every man. And Father, let it go down to their sons. Let it go down to their daughters in the name of Jesus Christ. Let it be, Lord God, a clarion call that we're going to be able to be on with the accord and not on the cord, that we'll be able to get into the place that suddenly can happen in our lives, that we've been waiting to exhale for too long. But Lord God, once we get with one accord, suddenly will happen. And I thank you for suddenly in every household. I thank you for suddenly in every bank account. I thank you for suddenly in every endeavor in the name of Jesus Christ. And now, Father, bless this wonderful leader, Brother RJ. Father, begin to add even more vision to his vision. Father, begin to even add resources to that he's doing. Lord, undergird him. And Father, we pray against any demon that would come against him, because we understand that the devil doesn't want something like this happening. He doesn't want there to be a call to bring men into prayer. So Father, we beat back any buzzard that may be coming to try to destroy what this young man of God is building. Father, preserve it by your blood. Preserve him by your blood. Add to him daily in the name of Jesus Christ. I cover him, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. I cover him, Lord God. I cover him with the blood of Jesus Christ. I cover him, Lord God. Yes, Lord. I speak strength in his life. I speak prosperity in his life. I speak elevation in his life. I speak yes, strength to everything that he does. I love you for it and I honor you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Doc.
Amen. Thank you.
I might have went over a little bit. I went over, sir. I'm sorry. I know that you said 30 minutes.
You're fine. Thank you, Bishop. Thank you so much. Man, that was spot on. You were literally spot on. I appreciate that. Thank you, brothers, for joining. If you can give me 2 minutes, as always, two things I want to share. As mentioned in the beginning, so we are transitioning to monthly calls instead of weekly. It's going to be weird for a while, but we will be back first Monday in July. We have Bishop Jim Wright from the Garden at Pneuma here in Charlotte that's going to lead us. We are, as always, and Bishop doesn't know I'm doing this, and I never give anybody a heads up because I don't want them to try to deter me from doing this, but I'll say this, and I say it every week. My wife and I have been tremendously blessed through pandemic. We have continued to work and receive full paychecks. So this is not for RJ. This is not for my household, but we want to bless Bishop Brown and Sword of Truth. So it was placed on my heart to bless each of the pastors and their churches that are giving of themselves. And you see him shaking his head because I know he would never let me do this, which is why I didn't give any heads up. But I've entered our Cash App right there in the chat. If you are led and if you are able to shoot us an offering, and we're going to add to it. We've been blessed over the past 2 months to donate over $700 to the seven pastors or spread amongst the seven pastors that have been on this call. And so we just want to continue being a blessing. Bishop Brown, as well as other pastors across our country, are doing the absolute best they can. And we know that online giving can be challenging, but we want to make sure that Bishop Brown is able to continue to do ministry. Sword of Truth is able to still be fed. So if you are able, please don't feel obligated. If you are able, shoot us a Cash App. We're going to add to it and send that straight to Sword of Truth in Bennettsville, South Carolina. We want to be a blessing to them. We're going to do it anyway. But if you can join us in doing that, we would appreciate it. Bishop, thank you again. Awesome word and prayer. I mean, literally spot on. You were literally in my house. So thank you, brothers. Thank you all for joining today. And we appreciate it. We'll see you next month. Again, first Mondays, mark your calendar, 7 o'clock, we'll be right here. So thank you. If you have anything you need of me, I will include my email address here. If you got any questions, comments, ideas, please don't hesitate to share. We're going to continue doing great things and lifting up God through it all. So thank you again. Blessings to you and your families. Yes, the recordings will be posted on my website, and it's PrigeonEventManagement.com. PrigeonEventManagement.com. All the recordings from each of the calls are already there, and within 30 minutes, this one will be there as well. So please follow us on social media and all that great stuff, and please go back and listen to this. Bishop gave us a lot to chew on over the next month while we're waiting for another call. So thank you again, Bishop. We love you. I love you. My family loves you. And brothers, have a great week and a great month, and we'll be right back here in July. God bless you all.